If you're here for the first time, we are on week two of Biblical Communication Sermon Series that I started last week. If you missed last week, you must listen to last week's sermon. It lays the foundation for biblical communication. The foundation is a three-legged stool upon which what we're going to be talking about for the next week all sits. So please, if you missed last week, go on the website and listen to it there, or if a CD is better, ask one of the techs back, and then we'll make sure you get one. If we're going to have biblical communication, let's begin by going to the biggest deterrent to godly communication, and that's our unhealthy anger. Unhealthy anger is probably the number one reason that so many of our relationships are hurt or even destroyed. We are going to spend the next 3 weeks moving toward healthy expressions of anger. Yes, healthy expressions of anger that glorify God and strengthen relationships. Yes, healthy expressions of anger can do that. We just listened to a song about a man who had unhealthy anger. He said, "I'm angry and I don't really care what they say. I'm angry, nobody better get in my way." And if we're truthful with ourselves, we are more like that man when we get angry than we want to admit. I'm angry. Nobody better get in my way. So we're going to begin today with a sermon I title, Deconstructing Your Healthy Anger. And we will answer the following questions, and I do mean we. I'm going to do the first three. Why is anger such a problem? Exactly what is anger? And what is the difference between the experience of anger and the expression of anger? Then with my help, you will answer the question, what causes my anger? Now, I want to be honest with you here. If you just came here to listen, you'll probably get something out of it. But I want to encourage you to not only listen, but to engage the material today and come here with a purpose to be changed yourself. And then look at the people you came with. And I would encourage you to go home and engage the material with them and then figure out how you can apply what you heard today and last week and in the coming weeks to make both of your communications or all of your communications much more godly. So before we get started, please bow your head while I pray. Lord, bring clarity to our minds and Holy Spirit conviction to our hearts. Compel us to apply what is said to our lives. May not one of us leave here today the way we came here. Holy Spirit, have your way with us. We pray this in the name of our perfect communicator, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and all the people said, amen. Amen. All right, we've got a lot to cover today, so here we go. Number one, why is anger such a problem? Now, this is from a book entitled When Anger Hits Home by Gary Jackson Oliver and H. Norman Wright, and I quote, "Of all the emotions, anger is the one most likely to be labeled as something else. Of all the emotion, anger is the one likely to be identified as dangerous. What are some of the most common disguises anger can take? When we begrudge, scorn, insult, and disdain others, or when we are annoyed, offended, bitter, fed up, repulsed, irritated, infuriated, incensed, mad, sarcastic, uptight, cross, or when we experience frustration, indignation, exasperation, fury, wrath, or rage, we are probably experiencing some form of anger," close quote. Those are aggressive, right-in-your-face forms of anger. But then there's more subtle, confusing forms of anger that are disguised, and I quote, "Anger can also manifest itself as criticism, silent intimidation, hypochondria, numerous petty complaints, depression, gossip, sarcasm, blame, Passive-aggressive behaviors such as stubbornness, half-hearted efforts, forgetfulness, and laziness, close quotes. Still anger, not so obvious. But I want to tell you, they're just as unhealthy forms as angry, as the former anger. Passive-aggressive anger is every bit as destructive as aggressive anger. Anger is one of the most powerful and controlling of all the emotions. Anger can take over our behavior. There was an old Hulk TV show that you might remember. It had Bill Bixby in it. This was a long time ago. When David Banner got mad, he turned into this out-of-control monster called the Hulk. Now, my favorite line from David Banner, which was the understatement of the day, This nice guy, Bill Bixby, used to say to people on the show, he was David Banner, "You wouldn't like me when I get angry." And they didn't. The truth is that people, especially the ones we love and love us the most, don't like many of us when we get angry. And don't go doing this to someone and say, "Yeah, he's talking to you." If you want to be helpful, do this. He's talking about me. When not properly understood and dealt with, anger is one of the most dangerous emotions. I would guess that most violent crimes occur when people are mad. Police hate answering domestic violence disputes. They can be one of the most explosive situations that they handle. And this is among people who would say that they love each other. Anger has definite physical effects. It prepares us for action. Quote, "Anger triggers the body's fight or flight response. The brain shunts blood away from the gut and toward the muscles in preparation for physical exertion. Heart rate, blood pressure, and respiration increase. The body temperature rises and the skin perspires. The mind is sharpened and focused." People who walk around perpetually angry can experience heart attacks, strokes, immune system disease, migraines, headaches, eye problems. Long-term anger issues can reduce bone density, cause digestive tract issues, are linked to depression and anxiety, and can shorten your lifespan. God did not design us to be perpetually angry. Our bodies are not put together to be like that. But here's a little clue of what's coming later. God did design us to get angry. So anger is misunderstood, powerful, and it can be controlling. So what exactly is anger? Anger is a strong feeling of irritation or displeasure. It's a strong feeling of irritation or displeasure. How many of you have ever had to go through a sleep study? Okay, a few of you. So you're going to know what I mean. What they do is, before you go to sleep, they put on what it seems like 100 leads all over your body. You know, they even stick one on your eyelid. They stick them up your nose. You got them on your head. All over the place. All over the place. You're like this, and you got 1,000 wires, and they get you in bed, and they say, "Okay, now relax and go to sleep." Okay. Now, the reason I'm telling you a story is I just went for a sleep study on Thursday night. And came to learn that the woman who was setting me up, putting all these leads on me and everything, was a trainee. She was very new at her job. Now, I want to tell you, they have to put a lead on each of your calves and two on your chest. And men, catch this. They use tape. Now, ladies, you know what men have on their calves and on their chest? Not hair, long hair. So the trainee tapes them on me and says, "When I take these off in the morning, I'm going to have to pre-apologize." Okay, great. I've got something to look forward to all night. So she's all done, and her trainer comes in, and she looks at me, all taped up and everything, looks over her work, and then this woman was a hard woman. She yells at the trainee and says, I told you to only use a little strip of tape on men's legs and chest. And I go, oh. Now, if that wasn't bad enough, then the trainer looks at the two leads that are taped onto my chest and tells the trainee, you put them in the wrong place. And I go, ah. And so she pulls off the leads. And then she says, I'm sorry to have to do that, Pastor Frank. And I'm going, hey, praise the Lord, hallelujah. That, ladies and gentlemen, is irritation and displeasure. Anger is also readiness. Anger is energy. When you're angry, you are up. You're at the edge of your seat. You can't go to sleep when you're angry. You are pumping and ready for action. Anger is an alarm. This is really important right here. This is really important. Anger tells us that we don't like what is going on. Now, this is one of the more important parts of the sermon, so pull it together here. Think of having a balance embedded in your body. On one side of the balance is my expectations, what I think should be happening right now. And on the other side of the balance is my perception of reality. If you're taking notes, make sure you write down my perception of reality, what I perceive is happening. If my perception of reality is not measuring up to my expectations, what happens? What happens if my perception of reality doesn't match up to my expectations? I get angry, right? Right. And let me stop here. This is really important. Who gave us the ability to get angry? Yeah, God did. God did. God put this balance in us for a reason. And so you might be thinking now, Pastor, anger can be so destructive. Did God purposely design us to fail? In other words, is anger always bad? Well, what is it? No. Anger is not always bad. Actually, anger can be very good. Men, if you saw another man assaulting one of your children, what emotion would you feel? Anger, right? And you'd get pumped up. You know, the blood would go to your muscles so you could do what you had to do next, right? I want to tell you, anger gets you off the couch to take positive action when you learn of injustice happening all around us. God intended anger to be a good alarm and to wake us up for action. Unfortunately, we all test SIN positive. And sin creeps in and messes us up, so we experience what I'm going to call unrighteous, unhealthy anger. We experience unrighteous, unhealthy anger when one of two things happen. Remember, we got the balance here. When I have unmet, selfish, or unrealistic expectations. You know, every expectation that we have is not godly. Can I get an amen on that from anyone? Yeah. And on the other hand, our perception of reality can be off too. What we think is happening or why it is happening can be wrong. And if you've been around a while, you know that can happen quite often. Now, I've gotten this sermon illustration pre-approved from my wife, so. I used to have unrighteous anger every Thursday night at home. Not crazy, but at the woman I love. Thursday, just a little bit of background. Thursday's probably the longest day of the week I have. We have an early morning pastor's prayer meeting that I go to. And then because Karen has her small group in the evening, I try to be out. If I'm going to have to meet during the week, I try to do it on Thursday night, same time she's going to be out anyway. So what happens is, you know, I'm usually out or up at 6 a.m., out the door, and I'm not pulling in until 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And my expectation when I get home at 9 or 10, I'm in full shutdown mode. You know, I'm staying awake driving home. I walk through that door. I'm in shutdown mode. And what my expectation is I'm going to sit in front of the tube for a little while and then drift off into la-la land. But Karen wanted to, and still does want, a few minutes to connect with me because we hadn't talked all day. She just wants to ask me about my day. And I have to tell you, at that point, I want to forget about my day. You know, men are waffles. That square is over. I'm into the sleeping square now. The truth is that my expectation was selfish. My anger was unrighteous and it was unhealthy. I didn't scream and shout and everything. It was mostly inside of me. But it was, you know, I'd answer her with a few grunts or something. But the truth is, the way I need to love my wife is to give her the few minutes that she wants. I've got to work with God to get the selfish junk out of me so that he can put the virtuous stuff in me so the light of God can shine through me onto my wife. And I'm doing better. God's working. I'm not saying I'm all the way there. I'm sure if I looked up, Karen would be going like this right now. Yeah, you're doing better. But anger is an alarm. Even when our anger is unrighteous, it's an alarm that something in me needs to change, even. So God put it there for a reason. Now, anger is also a secondary emotion that is experienced in response to a primary emotion. Let me say that again. Anger is also a secondary emotion that is experienced in response to a primary emotion. When you experience anger, it is important to look under the hood of anger because another emotion is really the root cause. There are three primary causes of anger. First, anger can be caused by hurts in the past. Lecrae, in the song, he talked about his homie dying, right? He talked about his family life. Those things in the past can affect our present. Let me give you an example. I knew someone who could not take any constructive criticism at all. If he would get defensive and angry when people were just trying to be helpful. What the man admitted was that he was abused physically and emotionally by his dad. His father criticized every single thing he did as a kid and would often tell him he was dumb, stupid, and wouldn't amount to anything. He told me that if he came home crying or cried for any reason, his father would beat him up until he stopped crying. So whenever anyone tried to correct this man, you know what he heard? You know who he heard talking? His dad. Hurts from the past cause problems in the present. And listen, saints, a lot of us here have had trauma in our past. You've had to deal with some really bad stuff that's occurred to you in your past. And those things have deep wounds. And some of those wounds in you are still bleeding right now. Now, a lot of you are probably saying, oh, you know, that's in the past. I've moved on. Everything's fine. But if you were to go back and think about it, everything's not fine. And so I want to tell you, you might need to forgive. You might need to talk through those things with a friend, a family member. You may need professional counseling. You may need all three of those things. But do it. Do it. Hurts from the past can cause problems in the present. Don't let people in your past cause problems in your present to wreck your future. Don't let people in your past cause problems in your present to wreck your future. Second, anger can be caused by worries or anxieties about the future. Story about a man who gets called into a union meeting after work one day. Union rep tells the workers that in the next 3 months, 75% of them are going to be laid off. They've been bought by another company, and they're downsizing. So he tells them, guys, I can't tell you who it's going to be, but all of you need to prepare for that now. Now, this came out of the blue. No warning or anything. So, you know, here's the news, you know. Hops in the car. Maybe he listens to the news on the way home. Maybe somebody cuts him off. He gets home. Man goes home. His wife meets him at the door, all excited. She's showing him the new dress, the new purse, and the new shoes she bought because they're going out Saturday night at the expensive restaurant they've always wanted to go to. And she is all excited. The man erupts. He erupts in anger. Now, had the woman done that the day before, he probably would have had a big smile on his face. Did he get angry about the dress? That wasn't the problem. The problem was he was worried about the future. That's what was the problem. Anger could be caused by hurts from the past, worries and anxiety. And let me just say, that was wrong. He was dead wrong. But he didn't know it because he didn't have emotionally intelligent IQ about his anger, which we're all going to have before we leave here today. Now, anger can be caused by hurts from the past, worries and anxieties about the future, or frustrations in the present. How many of you have been to the DMV in the last couple years? You know about frustrations in the present? Yeah, it only lasts 8 hours until you have to go back because you didn't have all the right papers. Had your chest hairs removed by extra long tape. And ladies, you think you got it bad, but you know, when the tape comes off the skin, it's still attached to the hair, and that's what really hurts. So anger is misunderstood, it's powerful, and can be controlling. Anger is an irritation, energy, and a secondary emotion. And the third question we come to is, what is the difference between the experience and the expression of anger? What's the difference between the experience and the expression of anger? Got experience, got expression. My anger is experienced by me. It happens to me based on my expectations, whether selfish or other-centered, and my perception of reality, whether correct or not. The experience of anger happens to me in the moment. Now that's the experience of anger. The expression of anger is how I project it to others. This is the key. We all have a choice in how we express our anger. Let me say that again. We have experience of anger, and we can choose how we're going to express it. The problem is, many of us don't. Let me ask you a question. Where do we first learn how to do anger? Where do we first learn? Yeah, from our parents in our home, right? But what tends to happen is we see how our parents, our family do anger, and we couple those things, we couple together the experience of anger with the expression of anger. It just becomes automatic. We do anger the way our parents taught us. We pipe it together, there's no valve, no nothing. It just becomes one thing. You have heard people say things like this: she just knows how to push my buttons. Anybody ever hear that before? Yeah, you hear that all the time, right? But you have to give up your own control and hand her your control panel. You can't control how others treat you. We can't. But every single one of us can control how we respond. You cannot control how others treat you, but you can control how you respond. And you know what? You could make a decision right now for the rest of your life to say, you know what? I'm going to respond in a godly manner. It's that simple. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's easy, but it is simple. You can decide that I'm not going to let people decide for me how I'm going to respond to them. I'm going to work with God to respond to them. And we talked about how to do that last week. How about this one? That's just how I do anger. I've always been this way. I can't change. Oh, yes, you can. You can change. We're not animals. We can change. It's a moral choice how we're going to express anger. We can all learn how to do healthy anger. Now, we've already begun to learn how to eliminate all unrighteous and healthy anger in our lives last week. We already started this. We need to work with God to get all the self-centered junk out of ourselves so that he can fill us and install his light, the good virtues, instead of the self-centeredness, so we can shine his light out to other people. And here's the really good news. We can learn how to express our anger, catch this, even unrighteous anger, in a healthy way. Yeah, even unrighteous anger that we feel that's not right, if we can handle it and express it in a healthy way, we can worship God, we value other people, and we can improve our relationships with others. It can all happen that way. So, anger is misunderstood, powerful, and can be controlling. Anger is an irritation, energy, and a secondary emotion. And the experience and the expression of anger must be differentiated. Those two things must be uncoupled. They are two different things. Now, I've been working pretty hard up here. You know, this is not easy stuff to put all this stuff together. I'm done. Now it's your turn to do some work. So I'd like you all to take out your bulletin. You have a blank, there's a blank sheet on your paper or something with lines on it. This is where you're going to have to do some work now. This is your part of the sermon. If you're going to get some real value, you're going to have to get serious right now and engage the material and get serious about yourself. You have to know your alarm is going off so you can avoid unhealthy expressions of anger and instead implement new healthy expressions that we're going to learn over the next few weeks. How many of you are scuba divers or have done scuba diving? Yep. Really, to learn how, in a class, you can learn how to scuba dive in a week, maybe 2 weeks. You know, two classes. So why do they have 8 classes or 10 classes? It's all safety. It's all what to do if something goes wrong. And you know what? When you hop on the back end of the boat, you're holding your mask like this and your tank like this, and you're getting ready to go off the side of the boat, you are entering the danger zone. There's a lot of stuff that can go wrong when you're scuba diving. But you know what? If you're prepared for it, it's no big deal. You just deal with it. And that's what you're trained to do. And so that's what we're trying to do right now, is to get your emotional IQ up about yourself so that you can realize, I'm headed into the danger zone. I've got to take some precautions. So you're going to have to answer 3 questions for you as completely as you can. And if you're honest with yourself, you can raise your emotional IQ about yourself. So the first question is this: when are you most likely to experience anger? When are you most likely to experience anger? We're all different. Some people do it in the car when they're listening to their radio. I learned that today. Some people are not morning people. Some people are not evening people. Are you, when you're tired, can you get angry easier than other times? Or when you're hungry? I think when you're angry, when you're hungry, we call that hangry. Yeah. How about when you're in pain? Physically, emotionally, relationally, or spiritually? Are you more apt to get angry, and are you shorter with other people? How about when you're hot? Where's my wife? Or when you're cold? When you're busy? Or when you're bored? Or when you just walk in the front door? I worked for a guy, I worked in a warehouse, but he had to go through the showroom, and all the bosses were in the showroom. As he was coming in the morning, if the bosses started asking him or telling him stuff, he goes, "I didn't even take my coat off yet. Can you give me a break?" That was his short fuse. Every morning you wonder, how's Don going to be coming in today? So that's when. Instead of getting mad, this is where you just be honest with people. Acknowledge with them what's going on and ask to postpone the conversation, possibly. Say, if you're on the receiving end, what you should do is just say, okay. But then you got to get back to the issue. Say something like, hey, man, I'm really worn out. I'm tired. You know, this is not a good time for us to get into this right now. Can we talk about this tomorrow? And then you should say, the other person should say, okay. But then you got to get back together. Some people say that stuff all the time and then never resolve their issues. They put them off. That's not what this is about. Or you can just avoid those situations if you can. One way to do it is to get to bed on time. Don't go to bed tired so much. It's good to know when you're in the danger zone. Okay, so that's when. This is different. The next question is, what triggers your anger? What triggers your anger? What circumstances are you most likely to get angry about? This is a long list, but you might have one that doesn't fall on this list. How about do you get talked off real quick with people when you're disrespected or humiliated? Or when you see injustice? Or when people yell at you? Or just when people are loud even? Or maybe when people give you the silent treatment that can set you off. Do you get angry about incompetence of other people? Or when people lie to you? Or assume the worst of you? Or when you or your work is not appreciated? Or you don't feel loved? Or you don't feel respected? When you're attacked? When you're threatened? When your feelings are invalidated? When you tell somebody how you're feeling, they go, "Oh, no, I didn't mean to hurt you. You shouldn't feel that way." Or when you're wrongly accused, or maybe rightly accused, and you feel guilty, or criticized wrongly, or maybe you just get mad when you realize that you failed, self-failure. There's also when you're insecure, jealous, rejected, abandoned, afraid. We can go on. What is it, you know, if you've got that whole list down, say all those things get me angry all the time, then you're probably a perpetually angry person. But most of us, probably there's a few triggers on there, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 that really, you're in the danger zone when you start seeing this is happening. Alarms should start to be going off when this is happening. And it's good to know you're entering the danger zone. What do you do? You know, driving in a car is dangerous to some degree. What's the first thing you do when you get in a car? Yeah, you put on your seatbelt. Put on your seatbelt when you get into these situations. Making a decision that you will control your anger in a godly manner rather than letting your anger control you is huge. It's monstrously big. To know you're in a danger zone and say, hey, look, this is a tough time for me. This is you talking in your head. But you know what? I'm making the decision to respond to where I am right now in a godly manner. It makes all the difference in the world. Lastly, how do you know when you're getting angry? How do you know when you are getting angry? Do you shake or tremble? My hands start going like this. Do you feel hot in the neck or the face? Do you get sweaty? They say sweaty palms. A lot of people get sweaty palms when they get angry. Do you pace, have to get up and walk around, or tap your foot? Or start your leg going up and down like this? Do you clench your jaw, grind your teeth? Does your heart rate increase and you can actually feel it? Do you get a headache? Some people get headaches, stomach aches, dizziness. They have a racing heart. They get tightness in their chest, fast breathing. Some people immediately frown or scowl. Some people get loud. Some people get quiet. Some people actually cry when they're mad. How do you know when you're getting angry? If you just engage this material, you know a lot now. You know when you're in the danger zone. This is going to be a big help for you. Expressing anger in a healthy way requires you to be emotionally intelligent about yourself. It is critical for you to hear the alarm. I am getting angry. And pause for a moment. And in that moment, decide you're going to get into proactive questioning and listening skills, which in 2 weeks I'm going to teach you about, so that you could test your anger to determine if it's righteous or unrighteous anger. And also, over the next month, we're going to learn how to express righteous anger, or even unrighteous anger, but in a healthy way. Yeah, there is a healthy way. A lot of you think, boy, if I express my anger to others, it's going to wreck the relationship, we're going to get in a fight. Not necessarily. Maybe just the way you've been doing it is not in a healthy way. We're going to look at what healthy way looks like. So today you've learned a lot to begin to take part, to take apart and dispose of your unhealthy anger. You could start ripping it apart. You could stop being defeated by your unhealthy anger and begin to worship God and value others and improve your relationship by the way you communicate with other people. And remember, we learned last week, the way we communicate doesn't depend on how the other person treats you. Doesn't have to. So number one, what did we learn this week? You understand anger now. You know that it's powerful and can be controlling, but you could decide that it's not going to control you anymore. Anger is irritation, energy, and a secondary emotion. You know what causes your anger. You know when you are in the danger zone now. And you will uncouple the experience of anger from your expression of anger. Those two are never going to be tied together again. When you begin to experience anger, you're going to insert a pause, and you will learn how to determine if your anger is righteous anger or not, and you will learn how to express your anger in a healthy way. But you got to keep coming. You got to keep engaging the material, and you got to keep applying the material. And if you can do it with the person that you're having the most problems with, that's going to be really powerful. And that'll show the other person you really want to improve the relationship. Now, in the song before my sermon, the rapper Lecrae quoted this verse, 1 Peter 2:23, when they hurled their insults at him, meaning Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, he did not retaliate when he suffered. He made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly, Father God, first person of the Trinity. That's a huge verse. When we entrust ourselves to God the Father, the just judge of all men, all women, all children, we don't have to fight and win all the time. Jesus has won for us. We already have our place secure. We don't have to fight and nudge our way for that place anymore. We have an eternal place with Christ. Communion service, will you come forward now? We're going to share the Lord's Supper. Remember Peter's very next verse. 1 Peter 2:24. He himself, meaning Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins. Sins like unrighteous, unhealthy expressions of anger. And live for righteousness, i.e. biblical communication. And by his wounds, your Bible might say, by his stripes, you have been healed. You're healed. You have what it takes to be a biblical communicator right now. Jesus has won that for you.